The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Random... Oh, boy. Let's restart that again.
Oh, no. You got to go with it now.
Okay. Welcome to an episode of Outer Rim. This is number 48. I got that right this time, I think. Yeah,
you 48.
Did? Outer Rim.
Yep.
It's Thursday. Yeah, we're recording in Derek and... Yeah, okay. I think we're all here. Yeah.
Yes. Physically,
that,
if not
folks.
Mentally.
Well, obviously, yeah, since I don't know what show we're doing. Now, we didn't record last week, so this is a kind of a two-week hiatus for us, but we are back.
You know what that means? Anytime we skip a week, when we come back, there's all kinds of stuff in the What Were They Thinking segment.
We had 2 weeks to build them up, yeah.
Exactly.
There's some really good stuff. In fact, I think this show is becoming more of a What Were They Thinking weekly show than anything else.
But really, so. Whose fault is that? If Hollywood would just get their crap together, you know?
True. True. And it's not just Hollywood. It's
well, yeah.
It's a lot of things.
It is. Kanye.
It'll be the Kanye segment, yes. We should make a fake Kanye Twitter account. No, I guess we don't need to.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He does it fine just by himself.
I just retweet everything he says.
Oh, that's good. I guess we jump right into the news.
No, we should make like a fake Kanye Twitter account and put like really thoughtful, insightful, eloquently worded things in there.
Who would we get to write that though? Because we certainly can't
know.
Write eloquently.
Somebody out there. We'll get Megan.
Yeah, there you go.
She'll do it. She's good at writing.
She is?
Yeah, very.
Let's see, big movie, big news this week. Well, two controversial things. We'll start with the least controversial thing of the two.
The movie draft is not controversial, dude.
I know it's not.
You
I
lucked
am just
out
dominating
and it's
that.
Just we'll a beta.
That we'll save that for Outer Rim. Or save that for, see, I'm doing it again. We'll save that for...
Random Chatter?
Random Chatter, yes.
Because
that's where we did the movie draft. That's where I'll win the first movie draft.
Beta.
Inaugural.
Beta. I'm going to have like a little Budweiser frog and just have him go beta.
Beta.
Of course, now nobody knows what the Budweiser frogs are.
Oh, that's
I never thought that would make me feel old. That's pretty sad.
It does.
Chris, do you remember the Budweiser frogs?
No, I do
not. Oh, the correct answer is yes, Chris.
Chris, you could have lied.
Oh, you could have lied.
I'm sorry.
It hurts. Okay.
We are going off the rails pretty fast here tonight.
Yeah.
Pick up speed on downhill.
Yeah. All right. So.
In news, X-Men Apocalypse did, so-so at the box office this weekend.
Yeah.
Did that have anything to do with the TV spots that spoiled most of the big stuff?
No.
They saw the TV spots and, I don't need to go see it now.
I think the word of mouth was pretty much what doomed it. But apparently, I've not watched the TV spots.
I haven't either, to tell you the truth.
As much as people have said the movie is really bad, I've gone out of my way to watch as little of the promotional stuff as I can, figuring that that's probably amongst the best stuff, and I should save it for when I actually watch the DVD.
Mm.
But, yeah, apparently the TV spot spoiled some pretty big things. Basically, two really big things, one of which is, my understanding, is probably how they defeat the big bad guy at the end.
Wow, that's kind of bad to reveal early on.
Yeah.
Although, a lot of movies do this. The TV spots give away a little bit more each time. Maybe not this big of stuff, but I find that pretty frustrating. I try to stay away from TV spots of stuff that's coming out that I really, really want to see in the theater.
Yeah.
For that one reason. I mean, I purposely stayed away from all the TFA movie spots or TV spots just because I didn't want to have any more details.
But there's a difference when... Like, the thing that upset me in the TFA television spots was the scene of the Falcon kind of bouncing along the ground and crashing through the trees. on Starkiller Base because it looked really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been awesome to see the first time on the big screen instead of, like, I don't know, on my phone or something.
Right.
But
right.
Mm-hmm. That's different from, you know, seeing Rey defeat Kylo Ren in the lightsaber battle. Like, mm-hmm. that's a plot point. The other is just
right,
scenery.
Just nice to see, right.
So that's what kind of bugs
me. Yeah, I mean, giving away part of the ending of the movie in the TV spot seems like a really bad idea.
Yeah.
So if someone like me who I saw X-Men First Class, but I didn't see Days of Future Past,
mm-hmm.
would I even know that it's a spoiler? Or people that are just, oh, it's X-Men, I guess I'll go see it. Would they even know it's a spoiler?
If
or?
You know anything about the X-Men history in comic books.
Okay.
They're going back over the last, 30 years. There are a handful of particularly major comic book storylines for the X-Men. One of them being Days of Future Past. Another Ooh. One being the Dark Phoenix saga. Another being the Age of Apocalypse was arguably not even one of the bigger ones, but and I can mention probably four or five others. But there are things that, like, if you the Sentinels, for example, big thing with Days of Future Past. If you've ever seen any of the comic books that reference that, you know who the Sentinels are. So in the Days of Future Past film, when you see it, even if you don't really understand everything about it, you've probably got some kind of, like, it's permeated just enough of the type of pop culture that you're into, Chris, that you've probably been exposed to some of the things somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's iffy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I guess the stuff that they're talking about in like the article I read on Screen Rant wasn't so much talking about stuff they gave away for this movie, but just hinting of things that may come in future movies. So I'm also thinking, is they making just too much of a deal out of this? Is it really that big of an issue?
Well, I was going to ask you. You've seen the film, right?
No.
You haven't, but it's on your movie draft.
I know. I was busy this weekend.
Counting the dollars in your movie draft.
Well, yeah, that was part of it.
Because there were so many, it took that long.
It did.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dollars there. I mean, did I double you yet?
Hush. You're going to make Chris feel bad.
I'm not talking about Chris. I think Chris was your Billy screwed.
I tell you what, Chris feels bad now, but in the summer movie draft, when he gets some extra money on top of all the rest of us, as a result mm-hmm. of what happened this time around, yeah, it could go badly for the rest of us.
Well, we should all get, if we had a movie that was in non-wide release, we should all get a little bit of extra money, including me.
We'll give you, I tell you what, in this next one, the summer movie draft, Lou, I will double your money.
You're not allowed to play, are you?
Well, no, you're not allowed to play. You're the auctioneer.
Mm.
We are actually going to be doing the summer movie draft episode very, very, very soon, by the end of this month,
yeah,
by the
it's
way.
Coming
so
up, definitely.
People should keep an eye out.
And the last one was a lot of fun, so it was fun to do it too. I mean, regardless of how everything turns out, I mean, I like winning, sure, but even if I didn't, the process was fun.
You like trash talk more than you like winning.
Fun. What?
You like trash talking more than you like winning.
Well, trash talking is fun too, but I just know because I know you guys are just having fun with this too.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, if there was real prize money on the line, we'd say, okay, we just stop this and we'll redo it again.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Right.
Oh, by the way, this might be a good time, since we're already on the tangent, this would be a good time to point out that we are going to be doing a non-staff movie draft as well. We're going to release another episode, and we're going to track, I don't know how many players we're going to have. We still haven't determined that. Patreon donors are going to get first crack at it, and they will be randomly selected from those who have expressed interest. So even the people who have only donated a single dollar will be able to, they're eligible to take part mm-hmm. in this movie draft. And then, like I said before, I think on a previous episode of Random Chatter, but I want to say it here on the Outer Rim as well. If there's a way out there, like a website system.
Well, I was thinking about that. What if we did something where, like, fans could submit a fantasy draft after we do our draft based on what the dollars were that we, they ultimately went for in our draft?
Yeah, I think that's what was done before with the, I forget the show that Brian Brushwood and Tom Merritt used to do that they don't do anymore.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Like Cord Cutters or
yep.
something. But anyway, yeah.
Like, that would work. They take the same $100 and they buy the movies for what we bid them up to.
Right.
And make your best slate of movies from there and see who wins.
Yeah, I think we'll do that. We're gonna try to be as inclusive as we can and have as many people participate as possible. So, yeah, we're going to set something like that up. We're going to have more information on the website. So, pay attention to that coming up at the end of this month.
Very cool.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Enough about X-Men Apocalypse. Because who cares?
Well, it did its job. It made me some money, so.
I did care, but Chris, Days of Future Past was pretty good.
Yeah, I really need to see it. I was waiting for the road cut to come out, and then when it came out, I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, me too. I still haven't seen that. I still think the originals were better. Well, not the third one. But I didn't like First Class that much, but again, I don't like period pieces, and I don't really like most of the stuff from the 70s, and so it was like just the perfect storm of uninteresting.
First Class to me felt like a direct-to-DVD type of movie.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Yeah.
Felt very strange. But,
yeah.
Hey, they're all fun. They're not all going to be masterpieces in the theater. And as long as you have fun watching them and you're not being nitpicky about every little detail, hey, enjoy it.
No, The Last Stand was not fun. No, Lou.
It depends if you were drinking.
But then the drinking is what's fun. Not the torture while you're drinking. I mean, I guess it depends on how masochistic you are. I don't know. Making other people sit through it could be fun.
You like to torture people.
I do. I can't tell you how many people I made suffer through
Team America?
From Dusk Till Dawn.
How many people did you make suffer through Team America, though?
Actually, you are the only person I know of who has watched Team America and has disliked it to that extent. Even my wife, I think, was apathetic toward it.
I'm starting to question your wife's taste.
She cites Attack of the Killer Tomatoes as one of her favorite films of all time. So,
okay. Well, it's a good movie, but yeah, I wouldn't say one of my favorites. Yeah. Chris, did you ever see Team America?
Yes.
And what was your...
I was waiting for him to say F yeah, but glad he didn't.
Let's just say that I have no intention of watching it again.
Yes! Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. We've been all over all of this.
I need your address so I can put you on my podcast. Christmas card list now.
Moving along.
Let's
talk some Star Trek. Haters.
Star Trek haters? Wait, what?
Well, no. Star Trek fan haters, I guess you could accuse Paramount of.
That's true. They hate their own fans, so they're suing the fans that are putting together a fan film.
Yeah,
but they have been. It's been going for a while now, right? This has been a couple of years in the making. This lawsuit.
The fan film itself, Axanar, has been in the making for a while, but I think they kind of waited until it was about to actually go into the final stages before the lawsuit was brought.
Which is very nice of them.
I don't think they waited all the way to the last minute. I think basically, to be fair, I think there was a legal strategy to it. They kind of had to wait until certain announcements about the fan film had been made before they could then pursue it.
Yeah, true.
So I think, to be fair, they it had a lot further to go in production, I get the impression, and they could have waited until the very last minute and purposely tried to cause it to be a hardship on the people making it and stuff. And I don't think they went quite that far. Not to be defending Paramount here, because, I don't like the way they handled the fan treatment regarding Star Trek, but I don't think they were malicious about it. I think they were just consistent with everything else they've ever done in the past toward their fans.
Mm-hmm. Well, now there may be some reprieve.
Yes.
I guess when they released the trailer for Star Trek Beyond, director Justin Lin was there, and also J.J. Abrams was there, I guess. And he was the one that kind of brought this up, that Justin Lin was, I don't know, upset with Paramount for bringing this lawsuit against his own fans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Abrams kind of brought up the point of talking about this because he said that Justin probably wouldn't. So he wanted to make sure he got it out there for everybody to hear, and said that Justin had a talk with Paramount and expressed his displeasure over the lawsuit. And I guess the lawsuit will be going away soon. It's not over yet, but I guess in the next couple of weeks, this should be totally a thing of the past.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's really good news.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, if your fans are making a fan film based on your franchise, embrace that, I think, is the right word you should use, right? Not sue them.
I understand their desire to protect their property and their creative content, but I don't know that this fan film is necessarily going to confuse the consumers and make the consumers feel like it's from Paramount. Though, if I recall correctly, it does have some of the actors who were originally in Star Trek content.
Yeah, I think so. I think I've heard that too.
Yeah. So I guess maybe you could argue that some people would get confused by that, but I don't.
But I mean, that'd be like, you know, Lucasfilm coming down saying you couldn't make a fan film with somebody wearing, you know, Stormtrooper armor. I mean,
yeah. One of the big things that they had an issue with in the lawsuit apparently was the use of the Klingon language.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a little bit ridiculous, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is a little bit ridiculous to me. I mean, you've got fans that want to celebrate your movie, your franchise, and do things that make them happy and make other fans happy.
Okay, but at what point do you step in and intervene, though, to protect your property?
Yeah, I guess the issue comes down to money, I guess, when it comes down to it, is who is, you know.
Kickstarter. And so even if you assume that the people running the Kickstarter are not making any profit off of it, there's still, I mean, somebody is still getting paid to make this movie, whether it's the actors who are brought in or production mm-hmm. crews or whatever. And then, like, it's not just something that somebody paid for on their own. Like nowadays when you have things crowdfunded,
mm-hmm.
it's a little trickier because, well, now there actually is money involved. It's a significant amount of money. It's being produced on a professional level, not on a fan level or, you know, a consumer level. And the lines between consumer level and professional level are starting to blur as well. But it does get a little trickier in this case. And so, again, I understand where Paramount's coming from, and I'm mainly just playing devil's advocate here. I am all for fan-based content.
No, I know.
But there does need to be a clear delineation that it is fan-based, and I think that there needs to be some sort of an agreement,
mm-hmm.
Whether spoken or unspoken, something. There needs to be a clear delineation between that. In the Star Wars world, it's always been very, very clear. And part of it is because you had George Lucas at the helm, and either George Lucas touched it or he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as simple as that. But in Star Wars, it's always been pretty clear when something is fan-based. In Star Trek, I don't know if it quite as clear, and in other franchises too, it's not always I don't know that it's always quite as clear in this sort of case. I think this is one of the first cases where there's really been this much money brought in for a fan-based project that is to create more content in a universe associated with the property.
Yeah, you're probably right in that respect. I mean, I don't think anything's been done at this level anywhere else, really, for fan films.
So, you know, we have some legal people who hang out in our chat room sometimes. They should chime in. Chris, what were you going to say?
This just makes me happy that Lucasfilm is so generous when it comes to the Star Wars fan films and the fan film awards.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, are going on right now, I think. The audience voting.
Yeah, they are.
For the audience award. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes me very grateful. And the other thing, too, is nothing's been done with Star Trek for so long. It's like, I mean, if you're not going to give us new content, let somebody else do it. Mm-hmm. I know we're getting a TV show.
Well,
but
I mean, this is their 50th anniversary year. They are coming out with the series this fall. They've had two successful movies recently. I mean, no TV franchise stuff going on lately. I mean, when Enterprise ended, that was it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the world of Star Trek, there has been some stuff, just not as consistent as we were used to seeing it. And I think that, you know, fans may have gotten burned out. There was, you know, a Star Trek episode, a Star Trek series on TV every year since, what, 88? Up until, was it 2005 or something like that?
Yeah.
So, you know, there was Star Trek every year, every season for quite a long time, and maybe fans got burned out. Maybe the studio got burned out producing the stuff they did, and it wasn't as high quality, and it went away. I think it's been far too long. I think there should be some more Star Trek on TV. I'm looking forward to this new one, although I'm not going to be able to watch it.
Yeah, well, no, if you pay $8 a month, which
they give you four episodes
a month, so it's $2 an episode.
Still, they can bite me. I mean, that's just, you know, that's not how I want to consume my Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Oh.
Well, you know, we've got quite a bit into what were they thinking. So.
We do. Let's see. What do we, oh, there was some good stuff in here. we saved the best for almost last.
Yes.
So we probably should rewrite that, but you guys remember the Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen movie?
Oh, vividly.
A few years ago, that was that really mm-hmm. awesome movie with Sean Connery. Oh, no, wait, that was Indiana Jones. This is the other movie with Sean Connery that didn't do so well.
Actually, there was another movie a little bit before that with Sean Connery that didn't do that well, that I have a hard time remembering which is which sometimes, which is sad because in one he's a good guy and in one he's the villain.
What was the other one?
The Avengers. Not Avengers, but The Avengers, based on the 1960s series.
I forgot he was in that.
Yes, him, Uma Thurman, and some other guy. One of the worst films I've ever seen. And League of Extraordinary Gentlemen ranks right up there as one of the worst films I've ever seen. I think they are probably both in my bottom 10 on Flickchart. And if not, I need to go re-rank them and make sure that they are.
Yeah, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was, that's a very hard movie to say. It was a really bad movie. I mean, yes. It was based on a comic book, right?
I think was done.
There's a comic or graphic novel or something.
Graphic novel, I think.
Okay,
by Alan Moore, yep. I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
But just, I never had seen the graphic novel. I saw this movie on DVD, I think, and it was like, where did this come from? What was it? You know, who developed this? You know, it's like, this is just bad.
Hold on a second, Lou. I'm missing some of what you're saying here. I've got to ban the last disciple from the chat room. He just typed, I actually liked League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And he knew that the proper abbreviation for it was LXG.
He did, yeah. So, that's awesome.
I've got to ban him. I got to figure out how to do this.
No, come on. Be nice. I mean, we all have our desperate movies that we watch. I mean, you have Team America.
Oh.
I have Waterworld. Waterworld's mine.
Okay. Here's Joel saying the same thing. I don't want to ban the whole chat room. Okay. Oh, moving along. Yeah,
it's good slosh.
Tom Sawyer as a character.
I need the term slosh.
So, yeah. I don't know that that's a way to describe a film in a good light, but congratulations for at least the attempt there. That was good. Tom Sawyer was added in order to make it more appealing to American audiences. Because let me tell you, when you think of who you'd want to see in a film, Tom Sawyer, man, I'm going to be there opening night. Let me tell you.
Although that white limo thing they had there, that car was pretty spectacular too.
Don't remember any of it.
Well, we all had such fond memories of the first one. We're getting another one. Yeah, they're getting another one. The movie, the one that caused Sean Connery to stop acting entirely. We're getting another League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That's how bad this movie was. Sean Connery's final film. He swore off of acting after this film. That's how bad it was. Sean Connery, James Bond, Indiana Jones's dad.
Decided to stop making movies after that. Yeah.
That's how bad this was.
Oh, I just don't know. I mean, why would they? And the thing that makes me laugh more about this kind of stuff, somebody had to have the thought and somebody else had to go, yes, let's do that. That's what I find the most amazing thing about these kind of things.
See, I can
somebody
see,
had to agree with your bad idea.
I can see the decision maker at the top saying, yeah, okay, good graphic novel. Let's make a film out of it. The problem was then he passed the money on to someone who did not have a freaking clue what they were doing. And that's the problem. If you're going to invest money in a film like that, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Fire people if you have to. Do 8 weeks of reshoots like they're doing on Rogue One. Like, fix it somehow. Oh, I'm sorry. That's for next Tuesday.
Did you really compare Rogue One to Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen?
I contrasted them.
Shame on you.
I contrasted them. One is getting it right because they're fixing what's not working. And the other said, oh, let's release this. Two very different things.
True. Well, you know, the tomato meter has that 17%.
Oh, that's way too high. It's people like Last Disciple and Joel here in the chat room who are bumping it up that
keep,
high.
Keeping that up, yeah.
In the teens. My gosh.
Oh, boy.
I have a hard time believing that the last Fantastic Four movie is twice as bad as League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And if you go by the Rotten Tomato meter, that's what that would indicate. Just saying.
You can't always judge those, though.
Well, I'm happy to judge League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I mean, X-Men Apocalypse is a 48, so it must be extremely good compared to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, I have no doubt. I think the new Tetris movie is going to be extremely good compared to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Well, if you're that high on Tetris, I got another movie for you.
Okay.
Fruit Ninja.
Better than Tetris. I can come up with a premise for Fruit Ninja better than I can come up with the premise for Tetris.
How can you come up with a premise for Fruit Ninja?
There's live action YouTube Fruit Ninja video online.
Wait, yeah, really? A YouTube video does not make a
by the same
movie.
Guy who did the video of the stormtroopers twerking.
Huh. That's a good video, by the way.
Yes, his brother is someone I work with.
Really?
Yeah. So awesome. It's this guy with samurai swords, and they throw fruit at him, and he slices them in half. And
but a YouTube video is not a feature-length movie with a story behind
okay.
it.
Okay, give me even a YouTube video-length something on Tetris. You can't do it.
We saw that trailer.
What?
for that other movie that was Tetris.
Was it really?
Hey, no. You and I could do a YouTube video for Tetris.
No, I yes. can't. I
can get big, heavy blocks and drop them on you.
I can spin anything, but you can't. Can you do it for an hour and a half?
No, I said YouTube video. You were saying YouTube video for Fruit Ninja,
Bugs Bunny cartoon. Dropping an anvil on someone's head just because it's a differently shaped anvil does not make it Tetris. Just saying.
Okay. But yeah, so a Fruit Ninja movie coming to a theater near you, maybe sometime in a couple of years. I would be amazed to see a story based on blocks falling. I just don't see what they can do.
They just brought in multiple tens of millions of dollars by making a movie about suicidal birds flinging themselves at pigs.
Yeah, but you can make a story out of that. I mean, there's a story in the game. There's no story in Tetris or, you know, in Fruit Ninja. There's no story in Tetris either. But in Fruit Ninja, you're just slicing fruit. At least in the birds, they're trying to get their eggs back. They're, you know, they're flinging themselves to destroy the pig's bases. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make a story out of that. Fruit Ninja, no.
Maybe it's about a sushi chef who starts making sushi with fruit, but then gets attacked. He's also a ninja.
Can I have the strawberry
dude, I can
roll,
spin
please?
Anything, but I can't spin Tetris. I've got to find a way.
Oh, my. Well, onto non-Hollywood news, because every now and then we have to throw in a non-Hollywood, what were they thinking? You guys remember MySpace?
Oh, yeah.
Your house?
Yeah, yeah, no, no, no. The online MySpace, the first version of Facebook.
Yeah, that newfangled social media thing everybody's using these days.
No, nobody's using it.
Oh.
It made a comeback, didn't it, a year or so ago?
They tried to relaunch it as a place for, I think, music.
Yeah, it's kind of what it became towards the end of its life.
Yeah, a place for bands and stuff. It was kind of like the iTunes Connect thing that also has failed repeatedly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if Apple can't get something like that up and running, you don't have a chance.
Oh, Apple can't get any kind of social media thing going. Come on. They're like they're like you and Twitter.
Hey, iMessage is working out okay. It's not really social media, though. It's a messaging system.
I thought there was a lawsuit against that, too, though.
Oh, geez. Apple gets slammed with so many lawsuits that who cares?
Yeah, I know. Patent trolls. But anyway, yeah, so MySpace is not really a thing anymore that much, probably since the last, maybe 10 years. And it's been hacked.
It's been hacked?
Yeah, yeah.
So in other words, someone turned on the server and typed the wrong DOS command by accident?
Probably.
That doesn't count as a hack. That counts as someone brushing the dust off of the server and forgetting how to boot it.
I was thinking to myself, applaud for the hacker, because they had to remember that MySpace was actually a thing and it was still around before they could hack it.
Somehow, I have a funny feeling that this hacker is not getting lauded with praise. Quite the contrary, this hacker is being ridiculed into the deepest hole on earth by all of his fellow hackers. And when I say fellow hackers, I mean real hackers who can actually hack. Because I can't imagine that he's making lots of friends in the hacking community by...
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
I hacked MySpace.
Of that scene in The Matrix when Neo meets Trinity. He's like, oh my God, you're the Trinity? And I can see somebody else going... Oh, my God, you're the hacker that hacked MySpace? Really?
Yeah, and then falling down on the floor, peeing themselves because they're laughing so hard at the guy or girl. Yeah. Oh.
Sad thing about this is that I actually got an email today that my MySpace had been hacked.
Yeah, I haven't checked my – I should check my email. Felicia Day just tweeted a few minutes ago that she got one.
That is just too funny.
She said something along the lines of, are there hackers that are really that desperate?
Yeah, like, I don't even care because there was nothing on there.
Yeah, anything on there for me is like 15 years old.
Well, here's the thing, though. And so this is actually serious. If you have a tendency to use the same passwords over and over again, then you actually are at risk.
True. That's a very good point. Yep. And a lot of people do that.
And in fact, I may have. So...
Yeah, that's a good.
If I did, I don't need more. So back then, if I used the same password on multiple sites, I am well beyond that now.
Oh, yeah. See, I use your first and last name on all my stuff and have for years. So it's like,
really? Awesome. Everything. That makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Well, there are some other words thrown in there, too. But it's like, you know, this is a family podcast.
Lou Secchi, the winner of the inaugural movie draft for Random Chatter. Is that what you're?
That's long too long to type. So I decided to call it Beta. Beta. Moving on.
Anyway. We do have more Kanye news.
We do?
We do.
It's been a while since we've heard from Kanye.
I know. He's so prolific on Facebook and Twitter. And, well, he was on the Ellen show recently. Ellen asked Kanye if, maybe he should think, before he actually posts, And Kanye's response was kind of classic. His direct quote was, what's the point of thinking?
And have you watched the video?
I have.
It's just like, it's, I would say it didn't even take him that long to think up that line, but I guess that's the point. Like, he just blurted it. Like, what's the point in thinking?
Right. There's
it's
no like, filter.
Oh my
all.
Gosh, because otherwise you cannot survive as a human being on the planet, dude. Like, just basic common sense. Now I know why the world doesn't have as much common sense as it should. Like, the general populace, you go out about your day-to-day life and you see people doing just stupid things. And you're like, man, they have no common sense. I understand what's going on now. It's that Kanye is like this black hole of common sense that he's sucking the common sense out of the rest of society. It's actually being drained into him, into this infinitesimally small just point of non-existence. That's how much he lacks common sense. Is he's actually draining it from the society around him.
Oh, that's so sad.
It is. It really is.
I have another quote in here I threw in the show notes. Can I read this one?
Yes, you can.
So in the same thing with Ellen, he says, I feel that if I had more resources, I could help more people. I have ideas that can make the human race's existence within our 100 years better. But he's like $65 million in personal debt. So he had the resources.
Yeah, well, he's going to ask.
And he didn't help people and didn't make the human race's existence better. So maybe he should have thought about, never mind. I'm sorry. Oh, wait. What's the point of thinking? Yeah, that's the point of thinking, Kanye. If you had thought, then the $65 million you had before it was all in debt would have gone toward making the human race's existence within our 100 years better. That, Kanye, is the point of thinking. Mic drop. Except I don't want to drop my mic because I like my mic.
Yeah, don't do that. I want to know, when's he going to get the money from
Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
That's what brought up the whole, do you think, should you have thought it through more before you tweeted? When she asked him about that and he said, yeah, I probably should have put that on Facebook. That's probably why he didn't respond. Yeah. Sending a message to the creator of Facebook via Twitter.
Yeah. That really, I mean, even Eric, even brilliant. You would do something like that. With all your,
even I wouldn't,
social media savvy, you would not do that.
Even I would not make that mistake.
Oh, boy. Well, I still feel we should have ended with that one for our What Were They Thinking segment, but this one kind of chops that. Pornhub.
There's a joke there. Hold on. Kind of tops that. No, go ahead.
What? Okay.
I'll come back to it later. I'm sure there's a joke there. This one kind of tops that. Go ahead with the story. I'll work on the joke.
Please, yeah. Don't let us talking disturb you. So Pornhub has introduced a new exercise program, a sex-based exercise program, and it's got a really catchy name, BangFit. See, I got a response. See?
That's great.
See, that's it. That top that. That's you get on top and
oh, see? There you go. So now, are either of you guys interested in a sex-based exercise program? Would this be something that you think you'd want to do?
Lou, you can't ask that because, I mean, everybody is interested sex-based exercise program. Not so much because of the exercise. I don't think that's like the main feature,
But, this brings the whole social aspect of your, exercise programs to a whole new level, right? Was that just a mic drop I heard? Was that what was going on?
It does.
But, so what this is going to be is they have an online game that asks players to attach phones to their bodies as a motion sensor during sex.
Yep.
Kind of the rhythm of the ocean,
No. According to the little animated video.
I didn't see the animated video.
That I watched while researching this article for the podcast.
Sure you did.
It's not the motion of the ocean. It's the motion of the, Dance Dance Revolution thing on your computer screen. Have you ever seen that? Like, in the arcades, they got the little things on the screen and people are dancing on the pads. And then it tells you, good, perfect. Oh, you missed that one. Yeah, it's that. And there are dots that go by.
I think your partner's going to tell you that, though. You're going to need your phone to tell you that.
Nope. BangFit will tell you whether it was perfect or not. Yes.
I don't need any more criticism. I really don't.
Don't pay attention to your partner while you're having sex. Look at the computer screen instead to make sure you're doing it right.
Wait. My phone is beeping at me. Hang on. Oh, God.
This is so. Oh, and of course. So then, there's also a social aspect of it, right? You post your scores online.
Yeah, that's gonna be a big feature.
Yep.
Wow.
This is such a bad idea.
You know, it's like you have up band, you can compare with your friends how far you walked today. You know.
Right.
How long did you last? I mean, I don't know. I just don't see this being a real
thing.
Yeah,
you know, guys everywhere have to get that 30 seconds of exercise in every day. There's so many things wrong with this. I don't even know where to begin.
Hey, at least the intentions are good.
True. I mean, I understand that, as one of the articles pointed out, this is one of the sites that is responsible for people being completely dormant and sedentary. So, yeah, you know, it does kind of fall upon them to do something about it. So kudos for them getting interested in, you know, getting people to exercise. I just don't think that this is your gateway to either a better sex life or better physical fitness by
ridiculed by your friends,
completely ignoring your partner and watching. A computer screen. And it's not like you're watching, like, my understanding of the way this works, again, based on the little animated stick figures in this.
Yeah, the animated stick figure thing is pretty funny. I'm watching it now as we're talking.
Based on that, it's not like you're watching videos of things, right? No, you're watching this little, like, it's a video game thing with a little dot that goes across. And when it lines up right, that's when you're supposed to time it right. Like, there's just.
Yeah, it's really. Oh,
speaking
Lord.
Of, like, who thought this would be a good idea? Like, what you were bringing up back at the beginning of the episode, Lou, there was someone who thought that this was a good product release?
Yeah, and other people had to say, yes, let's do this. The cherub telling us they don't want to see any show notes on this.
It could be worse, Chris?
Yeah. I don't know how, but it could be worse.
Just keep telling yourself that.
Now, I wonder, can you do this like when you go to the gym? I mean, if you go out in public?
Only once. And then after that, the subsequent attempts will be in prison.
And they burn that machine you're on.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
How sad must this person's sex life be to have created this?
This really took the cake.
Yeah. Anyway, that's...
Now, are we going to start a BangFit Slack channel so we can all...
No. Post for high scores.
Oh my gosh.
Forget the summer movie draft.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh boy. So let's move along here before we get any further down this rat hole.
Before I have to put an explicit warning on this episode on iTunes.
I said rat hole.
Oh gosh. Moving along.
Chris, what do we got in the lightning round this week?
All right. So as always, we'll go through these and then talk about them at the end. All right. So first, even though Disney Infinity may be gone, Skylanders is still going strong.
Yay.
This fall, players can customize their own Skylander character and level them up via special trainer figures. Twitter confirms that links and username mentions won't count against the 140 character limit starting very soon. I'm personally very happy about this.
Yes.
T.J. Miller, who is known to be in Silicon Valley and Weasel from Deadpool, is going to be in Ready Player One. I don't know if they have a character name.
Yeah, it's it's the troll. It's a very small part. But when they're hanging out in 8's basement, he's the guy that is like poking at the two main characters, making fun of them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Next, the Bible has been translated into emojis. unfortunately, it's the King James Version, so it still doesn't make any sense.
Wah, wah, wah.
Although, I don't know what would make more sense, the King James Version of the Bible or the emojis. That'd be interesting to find out. Anyways, Limitless isn't.
Ha-ha!
Ha-ha! See what I did there?
Yeah.
In case you didn't get the joke, Limitless, the TV show, has been canceled.
I'm very sad about that.
After its first season.
I still haven't started it.
Don't bother now.
Yeah.
And then finally, Mark Hamill has a new project.
Ooh.
It is called Pop Culture Quest and will be debuting on Comic-Con HQ this summer. It is a web-based show focused on pop culture collecting, starring Mark Hamill.
Is he going to have a speaking line?
That's a good question.
He's just going to have a very stern look. And you don't know whether the look is appreciation, gratitude, fear, resentment, or all of them combined.
Nice.
No, that's pretty cool.
You can actually get a free trial of Comic-Con HQ right now, too, I believe.
Now,
some kind of free trial.
Do you know anything about that? I saw that you can do that, but is it actually, it's not actually live now, is it? It's just like signing up to be in it when it starts as a free trial.
According to the email that I received today, it says anyone can register now for a free extended trial on ComicConHQ.com via web browsers and iOS Android devices. The paid subscription service will officially roll out this summer across more connected devices and distribution platforms.
So it doesn't actually give a date as to when the trial
not in this email
starts.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I tell you what, having Con Man as one of the things on Comic-Con HQ already kind of sold me on it, plus just the general Comic-Con stuff that it's going to have anyway. But then this on top of that, Mark Hamill doing a collectible show, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'm looking forward to that. And it's going to have stories about, you know, his collecting both on both sides of that equation too. So it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's the best part about collecting stuff as far as this type of thing is the stories that people have.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm bummed about the Limitless thing. I was liking that show. It's kind of a bummer.
It sounded really good.
And I will never get an answer to why they had a street in my own town on that show. I tweeted the writer's room and they never tweeted back to me.
Well, now there's no writer's room.
I know.
You'll never know.
I really want to know who from that writer's room lived in my hometown.
It'll be like half of the series of Lost. You'll just never know why.
You know, that first thing you had about the Skylanders and you can make your own character. On a slight tangent to that, did you guys see where you can actually submit your own 3D avatar to be in
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One, yeah.
I did see that, and I looked through it, and it's like they want the 3D renderings and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, never mind.
Yeah, it does get a little complicated. But I'm like,
right over my head. Yeah. Yeah. But it is pretty cool, though.
Yep.
And they're actually paying people, too.
I saw that, yeah. A couple $100 to maybe $2,500, something like that.
Yeah. So, not bad.
It would be kind of cool to say, hey, that's me.
That would be.
But alas, it will never happen for us.
No.
Anything else in there you guys wanted to elaborate on?
No, I think we can move on to the... We're probably going to have a long random chatter tonight, so...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So box office results for last week. Number one, of course, was X-Men Apocalypse, making only $65 million. It wasn't a huge success for them. I think they wanted the upwards of 80 originally. But
I don't think these numbers are including Monday. So it was a holiday weekend.
I think that's
in the US.
Just the weekend, right?
Right.
Including Thursday previews. Alice Through the Looking Glass came in second at only $26 million. I was surprised. I thought it'd be a little higher. But I don't know how that's been critically received. I haven't heard
badly.
Much news on that.
Badly.
Badly? Oh, that's bad. Angry Birds, in the second week, hung in there in the top five at $18 million for a total of $66. Captain America, this is pretty interesting. Four of the top five movies this week are on my movie draft.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Captain America bringing another $15 million in its fourth week for a total of $372. Rounding out the top five is Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising at $9.4 million for a total of $38.6.
Yeah, I'll be talking about that on Random Chatter tonight.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, I'm adding
what's coming up this week?
All right. Well, coming to theaters, Mike from our network will be very happy.
Mike's coming to the theater?
Yes. Mike is going to the theater to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. He is probably one of the reasons why it's at 32% on Rotten Tomatoes instead of merely 31%. Yeah. Looks like a winner. Everything else that's coming out is stuff that most people wouldn't have heard of, except one that kind of surprised me. Have you seen the trailers for Popstar?
I have.
I'm sorry. No. Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Right. I can't remember his name. What's his name? Star of that one.
Sandberg, Adam Sandberg.
Yeah. In Sandberg.
Andy Sandberg.
He was on Fallon last night talking about it. They had a couple of clips and stuff. It looks kind of funny.
It does.
I'm surprised it's 80% on Rotten
Tomatoes.
That's
the surprising thing. 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, keep in mind, Rotten Tomatoes, the way it works, as most of our listeners know, is the percentages is just what percentage of the critics that they tally gave it a favorable review instead of a negative review. So that's how that works. But I'm surprised because comedies are very subjective. What's funny to one person is not funny to someone else, as Lou discovered with
Team America
World Police. Yes. Yeah. So comedies generally do not rank very well on Rotten Tomatoes. And for a comedy to get an 80%, especially when it's the type of comedy that seems like it's kind of a goofy, brainless, you know, Dumb and Dumber sort of thing, I'm really surprised.
You know, I was wondering why they had him on, I think, the finale of The Voice doing stuff. I'm like, he's not even a singer. What, I mean, I know he's done some stuff for, like, you know, SNL and stuff, but I'm like, he's not, like, a singer. Why is he on there releasing a movie? And yeah.
Actually, if you listen to the songs that they've done in the past.
Oh, he performs well, yeah.
Yeah.
But they had a big production about him, on the stage during the finale, and he sang this. I'm like, okay, the song's not that good. What is this all about? Now, you know, a couple weeks later, we hear a movie coming out, which I'm like, okay, that works for me, I guess. And this, to me, looks like it might be the first time. I shouldn't really say it's an SNL tie-in because it's not really like an SNL character is doing the movie. It's a new character he's developed. But it looks hysterical. They had a clip last night on Fallon of him proposing to his girlfriend and Seal was performing.
Yeah, Seal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Seal was phenomenal in the scene.
I just saw it in the trailer. I didn't see the whole scene.
Oh, it was hysterical.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of cameos. This should be pretty good.
You know, the more I think about it, I actually want to go see that this weekend now. Yeah. Maybe I'll come back and have a review for it next week.
There you go.
On DVD, we're going to have Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. So I guess 1 out of 3 ain't bad. Gods of Egypt with a whopping 12% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I think Zootopia comes out on the 7th.
Oh, cool.
So that's a no-brainer in my opinion. I mean, that was probably the second best movie of this year behind Deadpool. So on television, Preacher is making quite the stir.
I have not seen that yet. Have you guys watched it?
I have not.
I got it on iTunes. The pilot is free right now on iTunes. And there is a free commentary audio track by Seth Rogen and the other guy that Seth Rogen produces all his stuff with. And apparently the commentary track is really good too, but people are raving about this show. And it's not my wheelhouse at all. Again, the things that are the whole supernatural and religious sort of that genre of fiction just, it bores me. Not religion doesn't bore me. Religious fiction bores me. So to me, this is like not that great, but the reviews are so good that I might have to check it out. So that just started out. That's on AMC. Another similar sort of thing in the sense that it's based in the supernatural. Outcast is starting, I think, this week on Cinemax. This is the one by Robert Kirkman, the guy who does The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the comic book series for that's supposed to be really good too. So people are saying they've got high hopes for this. The show has tested really, really well. So unfortunately, I'm not a Cinemax subscriber, so I probably won't get to it until it hits DVD.
Yeah, I think I put it on my DVR. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. And then Wayward Pines started up. They just had their second episode, I think.
Two was on last night.
Yeah. That's on Fox. And cool. We'll talk a little bit more about that on Random Chatter here in a few minutes. So that's it for television, at least off the top of my head. In other news, books, Chris, you're going to be talking a little bit about, is it Dark Matter?
Yes.
And this is by Blake Crouch, the guy who wrote the Wayward Pines series.
Correct.
I just picked it up on NetGalley today.
It is probably one of the better books that I've read in quite a while.
Wow.
Hmm.
Good. Okay. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it then.
Yeah.
I've started like just the beginning. I literally had maybe 10, 15 minutes to read it. And surprisingly, I'm hooked already. Like
The first chapter will get you.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Very, very good start to the book. And for me, that's really what makes or breaks a lot of books is, you know, does it hook me right away so that I want to keep coming back to it? Because then it's very easy for me to keep up with it. If I don't have incentive to come back to it, I generally don't end up coming back to it. So, gaming, No Man's Sky was supposed to be coming out any day now, and instead it's been delayed until August. The creator apparently has gotten death threats about it, which kind of ties into our Random Chatter episode topic, but
yeah.
So that's going to be a little bit late, but hey, if that's what it takes to make quality product, so be it. And Minecraft is getting a battle mode later this month.
Yeah, I saw that. Just called Battle.
Well, it's Minecraft. It's not, you know, it's complexity true. Is not really. Have you seen the graphics, Lou?
State of the art, man.
Actually, I'm kind of looking forward to it. The way they described it, and having played Minecraft before quite a bit, I think this is going to be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. I actually just started up. I didn't realize that they even really had this as a thing, but I'm hosting a Minecraft Pocket Edition server now for me and my son, because he wants to play all the time, and this way we have a world that actually is sustained, and we can both do stuff in it.
You can do the Pocket version? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and
version is fun. I play it occasionally.
It's not fully featured, but they're actually working on bridging that gap so that the Pocket Edition will be as fully featured as the consoles. And it works with MiFi controllers. So, you know, pop it up on an iPad and use a controller with it, a Bluetooth controller, and it's pretty much like playing with a console with some differences, obviously. But there are mods you can install, not a lot of them, but there are some. And, you know, server hosting for a few dollars a month. And
cool.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, so that's it for new releases. So I think that about wraps it up, unless you guys have anything else.
I think that's it for me.
All right.
I'm good.
I know you guys all have an exercise program to go try out. So in the meantime, the listeners can email us, outerrim@randomchatter.com. We would love to hear from you on any of the topics we've discussed tonight. So shoot us an email. Let us know what you think.
You can also find us on social media, Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. On Twitter, the podcast is @OuterRimPodcast or @RandomChatter. You can find me on Twitter @LouSecki. That's LouSecki. Eric, what's your Twitter handle?
@EricBlythe. It's ErikBlythe.
And Chris, where are you on Twitter?
I'm @TheChrisOfChris.
And you can find us on randomchatter.com. That's the main network website. You'll find all of our shows there, including The Outer Rim, what you're listening to right now, but also Random Chatter, which normally comes out on Mondays. Echo Base, our Star Wars podcast. We've got another recording of the Sabacc table coming up soon. The big announcement about new X-Wing ships. And then we've got Scarlet Velocity, Green Justice, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, the Retro Convo. Lots of good stuff. Definitely a smorgasbord of listening content.
That's a big word.
It is. Don't ask me to spell it.
Okay.
Oh, Chris. So what I didn't tell you is I changed the initials in the closing because previously you weren't able to record on Thursday nights with us, so you didn't really have anything to say in the closing. But now I inserted your initials like literally just seconds ago so that you had something to say in there, and then I didn't tell you I did it. So,
okay, and I didn't even know we had that page there.
Yeah, you think I just remember all the stuff that we're...
We're not that good.
I'm old, dude. I don't remember things.
All right. So, yeah, you can let people know about the show. We really, really appreciate that. You can leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also tell your friends about us, spread the word. And if, you know, you listen to another show that's not The Outer Rim, tell them about everything. We like to spread all of our content.
Yes.
And don't forget to listen to us live. We usually record on Tuesdays and Thursdays around 9 p.m. Eastern. Tuesdays is Echo Base, and Thursdays is Outer Rim and Random Chatter.
Yes. And you can get that at randomchatter.com/live or through Ustream.
And if you download the Ustream app and listen to us that way, you don't have to deal with the ads.
Yes. Which is awesome. That's it. Oh, don't forget to support us through Patreon. And we thank all of our Patreon donors. It makes a big difference to us. We really, really appreciate it. And don't forget that one of the ways that we're going to give back is we're going to be doing a special episode this month for the movie draft, for the summer movie draft. And we'll have a hangout going, and we'll try to get it set up so that everybody who's able to participate can. We'll have more announcements about that soon. But of those interested, we will be selecting randomly from the people in the Patreon donors, and then for everybody, because you know we don't want to make things too exclusive necessarily. We're going to try to find a way to have all of our listeners participate in a way like what Lou was saying at the beginning of the episode. But for more information on how you can help support the network, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. All right, Lou, now you're up.
Oh, I'm up now. Sorry.
Yeah, you got to close the show. You have to say, like, bye and stuff like that.
Bye and stuff. No. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you again next week. We appreciate you listening. And that's it for us. Signing off.
Adios. Bye.
The Force will be with you always.